Welcome, everyone, to this IBM Support Exchange session. Today's topic is Preventing Vulnerability Exposure with IBM Security Bulletins. The presenters are Ashish Gatsera, Brenda Fanning, and Jackson Leonard. Ashish has worked in Webster Application Server Technical Support Organization for the past 13 years. He is a team lead, technical lead, and subject matter expert in many components of Webster Application Server. In this capacity, he has worked very closely with many customers to resolve complex, critical issues and enable them to succeed using IBM solutions. Brenda is the Webster PCert Project Manager and leader of the Product's Emergency Security Action and Response Board, is the first to hear about emerging vulnerabilities in the IT security space. She works with developers and support on a daily basis to coordinate IBM strategy and responding to incidents. Jackson is a Level 2 Technical Support Team Lead and member of the Emergency Security Action and Response Board for Webster Application Server. His responsibilities include troubleshooting problems with customers in real time, acting as technical advisor and coordinator for his team, and interacting with product development. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Jackson.
Thank you, Kathy. And thank you, everyone, for joining today. We're going to be covering a topic that I'm sure has become nearer and dearer to every WebSphere and IHS admin over the past few years. Whether you're concerned about keeping your production safe from a DDoS or keeping your test environments from prying eyes, staying on top of security has become much more fast-paced and important in the IT world. And I'm glad we had this opportunity to share some insights into our processes with you all. So let's get to it and move on to slide number 2, please. Here we have the agenda. We're going to approach this discussion on security vulnerabilities from a few different angles. First, we'll talk a little bit about the motivations behind this presentation. Then we'll discuss vulnerability reports themselves, how IBM handles them, and how to read them. Then we'll take some time to show off a new security bulletin listing page that we've released, which makes it even easier to find information on security bulletins when you need it. At the end, we'll take some time to go over any questions that anyone has as well. Let's move on to slide number 3, please. We wrote up our problem statement here. I won't read it verbatim, but essentially, if you're listening to this presentation, I'm sure you're aware of how important IT security is now with everything being stored in the cloud, which really just means offsite or in a manner that's more accessible to the internet at large. Our goal with this presentation and the new listing page that we'll show off at the end is to make this process easier for you as an IBM client. So let's just take a couple seconds to digest this problem statement. This is really what we're after today, is we really want to talk about how you can use the information that IBM publishes to keep your environment safe. Okay, so let's move on to slide number 4 here, please. So we have a couple of terms you want to go over here. We can just leave this up for a minute as well. I will say the only term here which is not industry-wide is X-Force. That one is an IBM brand. It's the main site out of which IBM Security Systems operates. So it's a little over and above the scope of the products we're covering today, but it's good to know about. The other three terms on the page are all very industry standard. PCert is an organization that works to categorize vulnerabilities. CVE is kind of the name that we use for each given vulnerability. It's an industry standard naming scheme and categorization scheme. Kind of like a dictionary, if you want to think of it that way. And then CVSS is the method that's used to score a vulnerability. So if you see a vulnerability, it always has a CVSS score. And the score ranges from 1 to 10, with the higher end ones being more dangerous in the sense that they're either easier to exploit or they, when exploited, tend to provide attackers with further, more exposure to data, and that sort of thing. So if you see something above a 6 or a 7, those tend to be pretty scary vulnerabilities. For example, every CVE has a CVSS score, and all of those are kind of decided upon by the PCERT process. So let's move on to slide number 5 now, please. Okay, so for many folks on this call, the answer to the title question of this slide will be kind of obvious, but it's important for us to cover because it's kind of the problem statement for this presentation. WebSphere is primarily used as a back-end server solution, and as such, it tends to be home to the meat of most application runtimes, and also tends to be the place where those applications are connected to back-end data stores. In many environments, if WebSphere were to get compromised, it could mean that the application's performance is impacted, or that a few individuals' interactions with the server are not secure, or in the worst and rarest cases, that client data gets exposed to an attacker. On the front end, we also have the HTTP server. A lot of environments use this to front end their application servers, and it's the place where the browser tends to interact with the application. So if you have any vulnerability exposure at the HTTP server layer, then that could mean more often than not that your clients, your users' interactions with the application tend to be impacted as opposed to your back end if you have, you know, issues on the WebSphere side. And then kind of beneath both of those, pretty much every web application that you develop on WebSphere utilizes the IBM Java runtime in one way or another. So it may or may not utilize the same parts of the runtime that WebSphere uses. So what we do is we publish separate vulnerabilities. We publish vulnerability listings that cover the elements of Java that affect WebSphere so that you can, you know, stay up to date on which parts of the Java runtime might cause issues with your WebSphere deployment and what version of Java you need to update to in order to prevent that exposure. And then we also provide vulnerabilities that cover security bulletins that cover vulnerabilities across the entire Java runtime. And these kind of are released in tandem with the reference vulnerability bulletins that Oracle releases as well. But note that IBM Java is not always exposed to the same vulnerabilities that other Java runtimes are. So if you're, you know, if you're running your application on IBM Java, you really do want to stay current with the IBM Java security bulletins, because those are the ones that describe which libraries you have to be on the lookout for and how you can stay updated to prevent exposure from those. Okay, let's move on to slide number 6 now, please. Okay, so first I want to make it clear, and we'll talk more about this in a few slides, that when we release a security bulletin, we will never release the actual details of how a given vulnerability can be exploited. So we'll give you details about how to fix it, and we'll generally cover any, you know, friendly names that the vulnerability may be known by in the industry and that sort of thing, so you can get some background on what it's about. But we never describe the steps that can be taken to exploit the vulnerability or any details about, specific components that it affects. We try to be as sparse as possible. We have very, very stringent guidelines for releasing these bulletins that make it pretty much, they do make it impossible for an attacker to read the bulletin and actually know how to exploit the vulnerability. But nonetheless, the release of a bulletin does make any given vulnerability more visible, not only to the industry, but to potential attackers, especially in the cases where the vulnerability does, you know, have a friendly name and it's well known. For example, I'm sure most people on this call will have heard of a vulnerability that was came out in 2015 called Poodle. Vulnerability in the SSL v3 runtime. That one, you know, when you get these big vulnerabilities with friendly names, they tend to hit news outlets and you see publications all over the web, not just from IBM, but from industry leaders everywhere. And it might just show up, you know, on whatever news site you tend to follow that might not necessarily even be related to IT security itself. So these things get really, really big. And in that respect, it's all the more important to make sure you're keeping up to date and applying the fixes that IBM releases to remediate these. So, I mean, just more than ever, attackers nowadays are aware of which products are vulnerable to which exploits, but you can prevent the vast majority of potential attacks just by keeping up to date as well. It's really all about keeping up with the news in the same way that, you know, your attackers could be potential attackers. The second bullet here is arguably, well, to me at least, maybe even more important, It's really easy to install fixes for these vulnerabilities. We publish fixes for the last two releases of the products as soon as we put out the bulletin. This is great for most clients because if you're serious about security, you're going to be on one of the newest fix packs already. And with Installation Manager, it's just a few clicks to get patched up. So once you see one of these bulletins hit your inbox, you can generally just click on it, go there, download the iFix, and within a couple minutes, you know, obviously depending on how many environments you have to patch up, but for a single environment, within a couple minutes, you can be good to go. We do, in special cases, we can backport the fixes to earlier releases, but we try to avoid doing that. Again, saying preventing security vulnerability exposure is really all about staying current. Because when you apply these newer fix packs, you're getting security releases, security fixes built in. And so it's kind of expected that if you're keeping up with security bulletins as you should, by the time you are reading one that has a fix you want to download, you should already have all the other fixes applied in the form of the newest fix packs for the product itself. So we can move on to slide number 7 now, and I will hand it over to Brenda Fanning.
Thank you, Jackson. All right, so how do we handle security vulnerabilities when they come into IBM? Most of the time, it's a call into support, which is why we're having this discussion, because we're going to try and curb that a little bit. But the biggest thing is, if you have a vulnerability that you suspect and you call in, you should know that we maintain confidentiality. We do not publicize anything until we have a fix, a workaround, a fix pack has been published, or it could be that we've determined that we're not at all vulnerable. But we take it very seriously. We protect your data. And again, confidentiality is one of our main goals of security vulnerabilities. The support team also will engage the PCERT, or the Product Security Incident Response Team. They'll engage the PCERT process. And part of that will be to confirm the vulnerability. We'll get a CVE ID and a CVSS score. And one of the pieces of that is that PCERT is just a huge database. We have a huge database of all security vulnerabilities that come into IBM. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. The next bullet we talk about is the security architect process. And most of the time, this is for Java and open source issues, but we're always in constant contact with other companies. So we know when there's an open source issue, sometimes before it hits the general population. And we sometimes get embargoed information that we have to, you know, hold tight until it's been released. But that gives us the chance to work on fixing items before they actually become generally available. And that helps so that we can incorporate a quick fix as soon as we can get this fix out to you and you can get it installed. All right, could you please turn to slide 8? All right, so what is PCERT? Well, we've talked a little bit about it, but as far as IBM goes, it is part of the IBM Secure Engineering, which is our practices for protecting systems through prevention, detection, and response. And so this part of the discussion is really on the response part. And so our PCERT team manages, investigates, and coordinates all that information. And again, the biggest highlight of this is that we get information from so many different sources. We get it from support, may call in to the level 3 teams that lets them know that they have a potential vulnerability. We may get it from a third-party vendor, an open source researcher. Other IBM products could be doing some testing, and they'll let us know that we may have a vulnerability. Our own internal security testing and scanning tools. So no matter how the vulnerability comes into us, the biggest part is that it all gets put into this database so that we can keep track of it and we can make sure that we've remediated against it, we've published bulletins if appropriate, and delivered fixes. Another piece is PCERT is actually part of the FIRST organization, which is the Forum of Incident Response and Security Teams. And that's a external organization, and they have best practices, tools, and technical colloquiums that our PCERT leaders attend. All right. Can we turn to slide 9? So we looked at, if you look back at the problem statement, the idea of this entire presentation is how can we enable you as a customer to protect your system? And one of the things that came out of, you know, many discussions is we wanted to create a new page that had the CVE listings. And from there, it would have links to the bulletins and what is affected, and just an easy way to keep track of all the vulnerabilities for WAS, IHS, and Java as contained as the pieces of what affects WAS, right? And we wanted it to be sorted so that you could find things, and quick reference to the common names, the CVE number, as well as the score. And by looking at this page, you hopefully won't always need to call into support to see if a fix exists, or if we aren't affected, or if there's an easy workaround, or if you sometimes the security bulletins contain other information that may help you determine that, you know what, I don't need to call IBM. A CVE can also affect more than one component. So in this chart, if it affects more than one component, such as it affects WAS as well as IHS, that would be noted. So you'd see two bulletins pointing off from the same CVE. All right, let's turn to page 10. So here's a page, the beginning, the last time I think we published. I may have published one since then, but this is the latest. And in here, it is just showing you what we're going to call this the landing page. So from now on in the discussion, I might just say the landing page. But this landing page has the listings of CVEs. I started with 2014 and newer. And we have the CVE number, and that is sorted numerically by the newest number on top, but again, it's numerically. It doesn't necessarily mean that's the last one that came in, right? So that it could be that CVE, in this case, 2016-5387 is listed, and it could be that CVE 2016-5000 comes out tomorrow, and I have to add it to my list. It would actually be listed as the second item, right? So kind of pay attention to that. We've included in there the common, or I guess Jackson called it the friendly name. We included the name that's being used out in the industry if one exists. The third column is the base score. So that's the CVSS base score that it came in at. So you can look at it, and you know, different organizations have different timelines when they have to remediate against a vulnerability based on that score. The columns 4 and 5, the column 4 is for the bulletins that affect WebSphere App Server, and column 5 is the bulletins that affect IHS. Now, those bulletins we'll talk about in a little bit later, but the underneath those are hyperlinks to the actual bulletin. So from there, you can go right to that bulletin. And the last column explains what versions are affected. So that'll be an easy way to look at, you know, if something just said that it was an issue with version 9 and you are not using version 9, then you wouldn't have to worry about it at all. All right, can we go to slide 11, please? Okay, so again, on columns 4 and 5 of our landing page, we had links to the security bulletin. So now I'm going to jump over to what is contained in the security bulletin. So the security bulletin has the summary, and in here we have the high-level description of the problem, and it may include what components are affected. So, for instance, if it said OAuth and you are not using the OAuth component, then you don't have to be concerned about it, right? You still may want to fix your system at some point in case you decide someday to use OAuth. So I would, you know, still say keep up to date as much as you can, but you may only have to worry about getting onto that fix pack level and not actually installing the iFix. We do limit our details, as Jackson had said, so that we don't give enough information for a hacker, because we obviously are trying to protect you. And by not giving out information to the hacker, it gives you a little bit of time to get your system remediated without the hacker hopefully being able to get into your system and target you. The next item are the vulnerability details. The details have that CVE ID, the CVSS score, and the vectors. The affected products will list, you know, what versions are affected. You know, it may be that it's just Liberty, or it may be that it's just traditional, and so you can have, and what versions, and it, again, you can kind of figure out easily, am I affected or not? The next section is the remediation and fixes. So that's the actual section where you will have links to the interim fixes, as well as it will tell you if there's a fix pack that's already available or a target of when that fix pack will be available that contains that fix. The next thing is the workarounds and mitigations. And in the workarounds, sometimes we have an easy way to use a config option, especially in the scenario of the HTTP server. The web server frequently has ways to configure around the vulnerability, and so we will give that information as a way to mitigate quickly. Another item that's also on the security bulletin is the ZOS customers. They have the option to subscribe to the SystemZ security portal, and that's listed in the bulletin with a link to that. And that is how our ZOS customers should get their information. They should go through the SystemZ security portal. Also included in the security bulletin are references to other bulletins, if appropriate, links to the CVSS guides and calculators. And then another item is there's always a line that tells you how to subscribe to notifications. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but that's another important item. All right, can we turn to slide 12? So at this point, this is one of our bulletins, one of our favorite ones, right? We love all of these fun names. So this was Sloth. And Sloth, again, you know, if you had were subscribing to bulletins, you would have been notified that we updated our Java SDK to get around this issue. And so, again, we have the summary, and it explains, you know, high level what the information is that we can share. You know, in this case, it's the SDK. You know, it's not like a specific component, right, that I can really narrow it down in that case. And then in the vulnerability details, you'll see the CVE ID. And the CVE ID, the CVE number that's listed is always a hyperlink to MITRE. And then with the CVSS scoring information, part of that includes the hyperlink to X-Force. All right, please turn to slide 13. So the affected products and versions, this is where, again, I said we would identify what is affected, and the remediation and fixes will give details, and sometimes it's just an iFix that's needed. Sometimes you may need an iFix, and you may have to update a file. You know, any information that we can give you for full protection is supplied in the remediation and fixes section. And the most important part, of course, is the link to the actual interim fix. The interim fixes are created proactively for the last two fix packs, as we said. Our support strategy has always been for customers to stay current. If you do not stay current, then it may take a while for a fix to be produced for you. So you should always plan on keeping your fix pack levels up to date. And in the case of the SDK, just to let everyone know, the interim fixes for SDK are full replacement fixes. So that's always nice. You get everything updated with one interim fix. So even if you know, think that it may not be something that you had to work around because the CVE number was low, it's still a great idea to upgrade your SDK. It's painless, and it will help against all the vulnerabilities that are listed, because even though it may only be one or two CVEs that affect WebSphere, if your application is using something else, your application could be affected. So you want to keep your SDK up to date. So the biggest three points I can say as far as the security bulletin and the landing page is to, you know, keep up with our CVE listing page and stay current on your fixed pack levels and subscribe to notifications so that you get these security bulletin alerts. I think we can move over to slide 14, and I'm going to turn it over to Ashish.
Thank you, Brenda. So far, I just wanted to quickly summarize. Jackson and Brenda covered very important parts of today's talk is importance of being current and secure, and all the resources that IBM provides you to become current and be informed about the new vulnerabilities. One of the main purpose of this technical exchange is to let you all know about this new landing page that has been just created. We believe that if you have that bookmark, it should be your first place to go when you knew any vulnerability to see if your products are affected or not. Here is the link in the second bullet. Here is the link to that page that we encourage you to bookmark. This page will be updated every time when the new vulnerability is known and the new bulletin is published. It's also very important that you subscribe to the new bulletin page, and we'll talk about that in later slides. So let's move on to slide number 15. All right, how you can subscribe to the notification page. So right now we have two support portals, the new support portals and the old one. So there are links to both of them, whatever you follow. But there are slightly little different way of following this. So let's talk about the old support portal. So when you go to the old support portal and when you click on it, you will find the link to support notification. So when you click on that, and then you can search the product name. So manually you need to search as a WebSphere application server. And after you select that WebSphere application server, and then for that, you need to click on subscribe link. Once you click on that, you will see the page on the right-hand side. And to subscribe to security vulnerability, which is highlighted, you need to make sure that it is checked and when you can submit that. Very similar procedure, just a little bit different step, as you can see for the new support portal. Now, one of the important thing is you need to subscribe separately for both WebSphere application server and IBM HTTP server. So follow the same step. Just when you search it, the second time that you search is search on IBM HTTP server and then click on the subscribe link and follow the similar steps to make sure you are subscribed to security vulnerability. And this way, you will get notification when the new bulletin pages are published. Now, let's move on to page number 16. With all of this information, one more change, very important change has been done recently is the fixed list page. And we all follow the fixed list page, very traditional way, which lists all the fixes being incorporated in a particular fixed pack level. So what's changed is starting WAS 8558, WAS 9, and all the Liberty, we added a column called security error. And as you can see, when in the list of fixes, when the APAR is a security APAR, you will see that check mark. And that will help you decide or know that, okay, when I apply this fixed pack level, I'll be already getting this security APARs incorporated. And this is very important because, upgrading is a major task in the production, right? And you might be encountering with those discussion about, making those big upgrades, right? And hopefully, this will make it easier for you to decide depending on, because security APARs makes a kind of a huge impact when you decide on the upgrades. And that should make it easier for you to understand or know what security APARs are also going with each fixed packs. With that, let's move on to slide number 17. So in summary, we wanted to update you that we have all very well-defined process to for the identification to fix provisioning when it comes to the security vulnerability and exposures. We highly recommend that if you have not already, please subscribe to Security Vulnerability Bulletin pages, as we just talked about in the previous slides. We cannot stress enough on how much important it is to be current. We also introduced a new bulletin page. Please bookmark that page. Frequently visit that to stay current. And especially when any new vulnerability were known to you, to see if it's affect you by visiting that page. One important part is, as an IBM support, we cannot provide any more information or any more details than what's in a security vulnerability. It's the legal requirements. So there is no need, so especially we in a support, we see many PMRs being opened to get more information on the security bulletins. And literally, we couldn't able to give anything further than what's published. So just wanted to convey that point is there is not any value add on opening a PMR when the security vulnerability is there and you have that information in front of you. Only time you may want to open a PMR is when you know the potential new exposure that's not mentioned in the security bulletin list or there is a no security bulletin exist. In that case, please do let us know as soon as you can by opening a PMR, letting us know, and we will make sure that, if it's affect Vsphere and IHS or not. So with that, let's move on to the next page. I just talk about a few information. So you will have an opportunity to ask questions or to all of us right now. But if some other questions strike you afterwards, right, we open this DW Answer discussion thread right here. Feel free to use it and post your questions. We will be monitoring those that thread in the future and try to make sure that your answers were covered. And there are some more information on how you can connect with us. So with that, let me turn back to Kathy.
Well, thank you, Ashish, Brenda, and Jackson, for this presentation. Now, I think it's time for us to move on to our question and answer session.
Our first question is from Ryan from Nationwide. Your line is open.
Thank you, and thank you for the presentation today. One question I had, a recent vulnerability was released by IBM, and my question is around how it is rated on IBM X-Force Exchange compared to the NVD database. This particular vulnerability was rated as a CVSS 3.0 base score of 5.3 on X-Force, and then on the NVD site, CVS version 3, it was rated as a 9.8 critical.
Right, so I'll take that. This is Brenda. So how it works is we get the scoring, if it's available, we get the scoring from, if it's open source, et cetera, from them if they have already scored it. Sometimes the open source community does not get their scoring done before they let us know about the issue. So we have to take the information that we have and we attempt to get it scored through X-Force. At the point in time, because I know which one you're discussing, I believe, it had not been scored externally, so we used the score we had, found out that there were some inconsistencies, and we did get X-Force to update their score based on the fact that it did change. So when we have an issue, a case where the scoring has changed, we will get back in contact with X-Force, and then with this PCERT database that I was talking about, we have an easy way to disseminate that information then to all the products that potentially have that same issue. So that's good, but again, sometimes we just have to, with these open source, they don't always tell us what their issues, all the information that we need, and we have to get something scored, and it may not be exactly perfect. Now, when we have a scoring that we have submitted ourselves as far as WebSphere, we know all the details, right? I know how you can get in, and I know, a lot more information, obviously, than we can put out there. So those scores you would definitely want to trust the X-Force score that we have, because we let them know all the details how to score it properly.
Okay. So in this instance, we should go by the MVD scoring, because currently the X-Force doesn't appear to have been updated. It's still at a 5.3. So would you recommend following what the MVD rates it?
I guess so. There was a different one, maybe I need to go back and check that X-Force updated it, but we had one come in the other day, so I'm surprised it's not updated, but I can check on that. Or if you let me know in the chat or wherever, or just over the phone, if you let me know the CVE number, I'll make sure it gets updated correctly.
Yeah, the CVE number is 2016-0718.
Okay. I'll check on that.
Thank you.
Hey, Eric, while we're waiting for some calls there, I'm going to go back into the group chat. It came in on slide 10. The question came in from Brian. This new page is great, but any consideration to include date announced and fixed packs affected/fixed?
Okay. The fixed packs that are fixed in, that's a little more difficult. It would take a lot of real estate. So we chose to just put the version number, because you really should go to the bulletin to get that information, because that's where the fixes are located as well. And that gives you the information on when that fix pack is going to be, predicted to be generally available. So I would not really want to do that. As far as, now I've forgotten the other piece.
Any considerations include date announced?
Okay, yes, right. So we started with a page, right? And the page has all the information. So when we have an update to a CVE that's going to be something significant, then we will, behind the bulletin, or in parentheses, I will put the date that it was updated. We're not really going to put out exactly what date we may have published everything. Again, that information is in the security bulletins themselves, but I will include a date on this landing page if, in fact, it has been updated with significant information. If I fix a typo, unless it has to do with, a configuration option, which would typo would be significant. But if it's just an insignificant update, I will not post it here. But otherwise, you will see a date that's attached if I've updated it for a significant reason.
This question came in on slide 13 from Alan, and it says, are the SEC bulletin landing pages for other WebSphere products following the same format now? Ditto for other IBM non-WebSphere products.
So, yes. So, the security bulletin format, as far as the headings, are the same for all IBM products. As far as what information is contained, that can be a little different, right? We all have to follow the same template, but what we put in or how we put in the information can be a little bit different from the different products. And as far as a landing page for other products, I can't speak to that because, our goal here was to help our WebSphere app server customers. And there are so many products that use the app server as well that we wanted to try and keep it just drilled down just to that product, which is the IHS, the WAS, the SDK, so that we just get those updates.
Well, thank you for that answer. Something came in from Louie, just from the group chat. Louie asks, how often the website is updated based on the CVE number published National Vol database website?
Right. So we're only going to update this landing page when WebSphere or IHS or the SDK has a solution to a CVE. And it's also not going to show, right, we aren't listing every single CVE number. the NIST database includes every single CVE number. 90% of those, probably higher than that, 99% of those don't affect us, so we don't need to have, you know, this huge listing for you to go through to figure out that it does not affect us. So we usually show what does affect us. The instances where that isn't always the case is, you know, some of these big, you know, your heart bleeds and your sloth and, you know, these big vulnerabilities that get a lot of media attention. If something does not affect us, we will put out a not affected bulletin, but it's only for those well-known vulnerabilities.
Yeah, I would add just kind of what you're implying here, Brenda, that if you see a if you hear about a vulnerability in the news, go to this page, that, you know, this new landing page, and if it's not listed there, then you don't need to worry about it in your WebSphere or IHS or, Java environments, IBM Java environments.
Okay, Jason has asked the question in the group chat. For the development community, there is WebSphere embedded test environment provided with Rational Dev tools. Should patching of this component be taken as serious as WAS full profile external facing?
I think so, Sashi. So the main purpose of WebSphere embedded in the development community is during the development time, right? Some of the vulnerability, how we closed it, does change the behavior of the WebSphere itself, like, you know, the class serving by servlet names, right? And if you keep up your development phase, so those changes might affect your programming style. And that's why I was like more inclined with, you know, if you also be current with your development environment, you know, it make more sense. And you don't have to change anything later when you deploy your applications in production.
Thank you very much for that answer. Since there are no more questions, we will conclude the presentation. And thank you, Ashish, Brenda, and Jackson, for presenting today. You all have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.